But not going to do that. Today there's kind of a, oh, they're back already. The our children were at the courtyard today singing for Pastor Steve, who is speaking there. If you're wondering where Steve is, because I know you saw him in and out. Here they are, the choir that joined Pastor Steve at the courtyard, and I trust it went well, and they appreciated it very much. So anyway, thank you, Darlene, for willing to do that. Now we just need to get Steve through the rest of the hour. It'll be good. Well, they'll get to get out early. If you're here now, they'll probably be done by, 10, 15 minutes. We love to give Steve a bad time about being the only one who gets out of church 20 minutes early. So, and I was hitting with racing this morning that, we'll probably get out about 10, 20 after or something like that, no, we won't. I will, and again, that's when my daughter, who's becoming a lot more like my wife, says, "Dad, just remember, keep it short." And I said, "Sure, I will do that." It is like, so I paraphrased my whole sermon into, "Thomas doubted, but we shouldn't." Amen. Does that work for you? No, it doesn't. Now, one thing you have going for you, I can smell the taco meat. I don't know if you can do it. I can smell it. It's coming up here, and it's smelling pretty good. So, this morning I'm going to look at what transpired after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because, last Sunday, what a great Sunday. I mean, it was just a great Sunday. We had a breakfast, Easter breakfast, probably the biggest one we had in years and years. We had all kinds of people here. And we had over 218 people in church last Sunday. And it was really exciting to see the place full. And we talk about an exciting thing. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's conquered death. We didn't get any amens or praise the Lord's, but we're working on that. And I'm hoping that my Sunday school class, they're watching the Tony Evans videos. And Tony is a fairly charismatic speaker, but he's speaking to a group probably Southern Baptists, and they're not afraid to say amen and preach it and yes. And and I'm thinking, boy, that is just so far removed from us. But I'm thinking that maybe my class, besides learning about the names of God, will become a little bit more animated. Maybe not. But anyway, anyway, see, praise God in there. My amen man is gone. So someone else is going to have to fill in for him. But then again, I know what you'll say. The pastor, you got to speak like Tony Evans. I can't do that. Because he just has a unique way of speaking, and that's that. So it was so exciting. But I feel like this happens every year after Easter. There's this letdown. It's kind of like, well, that's over. Whew. Now let's on to spring sports. Little League baseball starting up, and this is starting up, and vacation time is coming, and school's going almost out. In 2 weeks, WSU graduates, and our summer kicks on, and we just kind of forget about Easter. And so I kind of wanted to go back to that and say, we're kind of in good company because the disciples didn't do really well right after the death of Jesus Christ. And one of the disciples didn't even do very well after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at John chapter 20. And I'm going to just read the story to you, and then we're just going to look through it. One of the things, though, that I want you to do is, and you'll recognize the one of the main person, the people in this story is Thomas. And, you know, and of course, he's got now the dubious title of Doubting Thomas. And I don't know if that's fair to him. But anyway, we're going to look at Thomas and just kind of look at why he should have believed and why he should have known. So if you have your Bibles, open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And I'm going to start reading verse 19. It says, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of many, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my fingers into the place where the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the door having been shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed.'" Let's pray. Father, speak to us through your word. Show us what you want us to learn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great story. The disciples were locked into a room. They locked themselves in because they were, quite frankly, afraid of the Jews. The Jews had put Jesus to death, and they still were not understanding what was going on. And so they were afraid that the Jews were going to track down them and put them to death. So they were in a room, and the door was shut. They had heard already that Jesus' body was gone. They had heard this. The women had come and told them that not only was his body gone, but they had seen Jesus. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. And yet, here we see the disciples locked into a room and because they were afraid. Well, I'm sure they became even more afraid when all of a sudden, in their locked room, in the security of their room, no one can come in and come out, go in and go out. All of a sudden, Jesus was with them. And at first, it had to have startled them. It just had to have. Because, I mean, he didn't knock, and they opened the door, and he came in. He was just there. Now, did he walk through the door? Did he just appear? I don't know what he did, but he was there. And they knew that this was pretty special because they were pretty much secure where they were at. And Jesus says, "Peace with you. I give you peace." Now, they were afraid, but Jesus says, "I give you peace." And then he shows them the wounds. This is me. This is not a ghost. This is me. This is my body. And here's where the nails went in. Here's where the spear cut my side. Didn't say that he showed his feet, but I don't think he would need to necessarily to do that. So here I am. And the disciples were ecstatic. They praised God, and finally they believed that Jesus Christ was alive because he showed himself to them. And then he commissioned them to go, and that's another sermon coming, but he commissioned them to go, and then evidently he departed. Well, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. It doesn't say why he wasn't there. It doesn't say where he was. He just was not there. And so when he came, or when the disciples found him, they told him the great news. Jesus had appeared to us. He is alive. We've seen his hands. We've seen his side. We know he's alive. He talked to us. He gave us his Holy Spirit. Now, you would think that Thomas would go, "Oh, man, I'm sorry I missed that one. I guess I won't miss the next disciples meeting. I'll be there. I'll be there." Because you never know what God's going to do at a disciples meeting, or a deacon's meeting, or a trustees meeting. And it's a shameless plug for meetings. Anyway, but instead of saying, "Oh, man," he just simply said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." Now, Thomas had been spending 3 years with these guys. He knew them. Now, they were a little rough around the edges, but they weren't all hallucinating at the same time. And they weren't necessarily prone to lying about things. They had a little bit of problem with trying to be the greatest in the kingdom, but this had nothing to do with that. You know, he'd been with who knows them. And he would not believe them that Jesus had appeared to them. And then it says, and I didn't realize this, and it was 8 days after this was quite a period in there that Thomas probably had quite a bit of a contact with the rest of the disciples. And for 8 days, he did not believe. But then finally, they were all together again, still locked in a room, and Jesus appeared to them and appeared to Thomas. Now we look at Thomas, and again, we put a tag on his name. It's Doubting Thomas, you know, but let's kind of look at it, you know, and look at the evidence that Thomas just didn't see. First of all, he had spent 3 years with Jesus, and Jesus had been teaching about this very thing that was going to happen. He had been teaching about what was going to happen to him. In Matthew 12:40, it says, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So clear back in Matthew, he starts teaching about this. All the gospels mention that Jesus is teaching his disciples that he's going to die. Now, this was kind of figurative, you know. I mean, he says, like Jonah, you know, and I'm sure the disciples are, "Yeah, that's a great story. We love Jonah's story, you know. I loved it in Sunday school and stuff, and the great fish that swallows them and spits them back out again, and so great story, but they don't make the connection here. They don't make the connection, but Jesus is teaching about it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 31. It says, "For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, 'The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be killed, and when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later.'" Okay, he's teaching him this. It's kind of like, you know, guys, listen to me. This is what's going to happen. Listen to me. And I'm sure they're just, yeah, okay, got it. I'm going to be handed over to men. They are going to kill me, but I'm going to rise 3 days later. Yeah, got it. It's going to happen. Great. Okay, well, evidently Thomas wasn't listening very well. Because he didn't get it. He didn't get it. And then in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, it says, they were on the road going to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them. And they were amazed. And those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen, saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. That's pretty plain. No, you know, like Jonah was in the whale, or not the whale, great fish. None of that, just simply point blank. Hey guys, listen. We're going to Jerusalem, and you know, I'm wondering if they stopped thinking when Jesus said, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. And I wonder if they just stopped right there and think, yeah, wouldn't that be great? Boy, he's going to tell them, and they're going to make him king. I don't know if they stopped hearing or stopped thinking, but anyway, they didn't get it. And Jesus was plainly teaching his all through his ministry what was going to happen to him. And then, as I said, it's in all the Gospels. John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. And this is right after Jesus clears the temple area. The Jews said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Again, teaching here, now this is very early in his ministry. Extremely early in his ministry. In fact, all the disciples may not have been there yet, and so it's probably not fair that I use that passage of scripture. But I just wanted to get the point across that from the beginning of his ministry to the end, Jesus had been preparing his disciples for exactly this. Because Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. So Thomas should have known. He should have known. Because Jesus had been teaching it over and over and over again to them. And then there's the news of the empty tomb. The news of the empty tomb. Now, you know, they didn't have news stations in those days. There was no CNN or Fox or NBC, ABC, CBS, all those other alphabet letters and stuff. They didn't have it. And they certainly didn't have 24-hour news. They really didn't have that. But what they had was very reliable news, probably far more reliable than our news today. It was eyewitness testimony, and that's pretty good stuff. If we go to like Matthew, we're going to go to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 11, and I just want to read this scenario. And again, this talks about the resurrection, and it says, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him, the disciples, while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they rejoiced. No, what does it say? They refused to believe it. They refused. Now, this was not Thomas. Oh, he might have been there. Maybe he was leading the crowd. You know, they really desperately needed a leader. So maybe Thomas was the leader they chose. But they didn't believe him. Can you imagine Mary's disappointment? She sees Jesus Christ. She meets him. She talks to him. And she goes and tells the disciples. And in her mind, she would say, these guys are going to be so happy. Man, the news of the empty tomb, the news that I saw Jesus Christ, the good news is going to fill them. And it says they refused to believe that she saw him. They refused to believe it. You know, they heard the news, but they didn't receive the news. And then, again, every gospel reports the women going to tell the disciples about it. But in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, it says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark. She saw the stone already was taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings laying there. But he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must be raised from the dead. He saw and he believed. What did he believe? Well, he believed that Jesus was gone. But he didn't know what happened. He didn't understand what happened. And of course, the other disciple was John. You know, and it surprises me that John outran Peter. It does not surprise me that Peter didn't stop at the entrance of the tomb, but just busted in. It doesn't surprise me at all about that. But they saw. They knew that the tomb was empty, and I know that they told the disciples. These guys were a team. They were a unit. The disciples knew. Thomas knew that the tomb was empty. Evidently, he just supposed that someone had taken Jesus' body. That maybe the Jewish leaders did because they didn't want, they wanted the body to disappear. I don't know what he would have been thinking. But whatever he was thinking, he didn't believe. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. Now, at this point, I just want to say, I honestly believe that Thomas believed in Jesus. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah. Because if we go back to John chapter 13, when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, he says, not all of you are clean. And he's referring to one person. And that one person was Judas. Judas did not believe. But the rest of them did. So Thomas had the elementary beliefs of Jesus and the Messiah. He knew that, but he had thought it was just over. It just ended because Jesus Christ had been put to death. Now, there's a third thing that Thomas just, and it kind of blows my mind, and I sort of alluded to this earlier. He had the testimony of the disciples. He had the testimony of the disciples. He had the other 10 guys. Judas was gone, and he would have been 11, and so we just figured there were 10 other guys there. But there was, you know, it's possible there are even more disciples there. We don't know who was in that locked upper room. But they said that he was alive. John 20, 19 through 20. Again, it says, so when evening of the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. I guess, you know, you could probably say, well, at least now the disciples know how Mary felt. Because the disciples told Thomas, "Man, he should have been here. Jesus came. We saw him." This is Thomas's response. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the imprints, the nails, and put my fingers in the place of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." His best friends told him. Now, I don't know about you, but if my best friend tells me something, I will believe it. Unless it's a fishing story, then no one believes those. But, I mean, this is not something that they would have joked about. This is not something that they would have made up this grand scheme to fool Thomas. They had seen Jesus, and they were excited, and I'm sure that if Thomas had just stopped and looked at them, these guys, their eyes were probably rolling around in their head, and they were jumping up and down, at least I'm sure Peter probably was, because they had seen Jesus, and they were testifying to what they had seen. And he says, "Nope, not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it." You know, what's it going to take for some people to believe? What's it going to take? I think about that, you know, with people that I know in the community and the people that are around us. You know, they know about God, and they don't deny God. They know about Jesus, and they believe, yes, Jesus was for real. And yet they don't believe. They don't see any importance in putting their life in his hands or putting any store into Jesus. They just don't. But then finally, after 8 days, Jesus appears to Thomas. And finally, Thomas, and did you catch that? That Jesus said to Thomas, okay, exactly what Thomas said to the disciples. "Unless I put my finger in his, and put my hand in his side." And what did Jesus say? "Put your finger here, put your hand here." You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, he's got a word for it, because Jesus knew what was in Thomas's heart and in his mind. He knows what we're thinking. But Thomas said it, unless I see, and unless something happens to me. He sounds like one of the Pharisees. "What sign are you going to show me that we would believe in you?" Well, let's just see. I fed these people. I raised this guy from the dead. I calmed the sea. I did all this kind of stuff. What more do you want? Well, you know, I think we tend to do that. Because we have the same teachings of Jesus that the disciples had. We see the news of what Jesus is doing in the world. You know, went to a Gideon's banquet, pastor's banquet. I love those things. They're really fun. It's great food though, steak. And it was done just perfectly. I don't know why anyone had chicken. But anyway, besides that, I like it because, and one of the things that they do, and I love this, is they show a testimony of someone who has come to know the Lord through the ministry of the Gideons and through a Gideon Bible, you know. And I watched it. I sat there and I watched this guy, and he's talking about, you know, how, you know, he was checked into a motel room. He was going to end it all because he had messed up his life so bad. He had blown his life. He had blown his family apart. His kids were a mess. His wife was a mess. Everything was just, and he was about to die, you know, and he got mad because in this particular hotel, instead of having the Gideon Bible in the drawer by the nightstand, they had it open on top of the TV set. And that infuriated him, and so he knocked it off the TV set onto the floor, but it remained open. And so, I don't know if that was important. And so he picked it up and started looking at it and started reading it. And it was at that point that he realized what he needed to do. That was a great story. And we've played ones like that here at the church. And we sit here and we go, wow, that's wonderful. That's just so exciting, you know, that really happens. But then I think in our hearts we think, that can't happen here. That doesn't happen. That happens in New York. And that happens to guys, it seems like a lot of the people who give testimony are Jewish. And, you know, this guy was Jewish. So it happens in New York, and it happens to those who are Jews. Or, you know, in order for this to happen, everyone has to go to prison. You know, or everyone has to want to commit suicide. But we hear these stories. Do we believe that? We hear the good news of what Jesus is doing in the world and what God is doing in the world, all around the world. We hear the good news about how the church in China is growing faster than any other place in the world. In China. In China, they can't worship God. And yet the church is booming over there. We hear that. And yet, do we really believe that God has the power to change lives? See, that Thomas didn't believe that God had the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And he wouldn't believe it until he saw it. We have Jesus' teachings. We have the news. We have the testimony of people who have been touched by God personally, and we hear those testimonies. And maybe it's a little bit a fault of the church, of us, that we don't let people talk about what God is doing in their lives. But sometimes I think we're all too often like Thomas. We hear it, and for some odd reason, it just doesn't get through to us. Oh no, we believe that Jesus died for our sins. And that, yes, Easter Jesus did rise on Easter, and he is now with the Lord in glory, with God in glory. We believe all that. But do we really believe it enough that it motivates us? That it moves us? That we put our life into his hands, and that we are not sidetracked or derailed by what is going on around us? Because if God can raise Jesus from the dead, then he can take care of the problems that we experience in our lives. But we got to trust him. We need to look to him. We need to put our faith in him. You know, and not say, well, you know, as soon as is God does something wonderful in my life, I'm just going to sit here and wait for it. And wait, and wait, and wait, and wait. Well, I guess God isn't going to do anything wonderful in my life. Because I'm just going to sit here and wait for it. Because I got to see it first. You know, we live by faith. Faith is not, if you see, it's not faith. If you don't see it and believe, that is faith. And Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Now, well, we're kind of in that category of people who do not personally see Jesus Christ, although we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And again, we have all the scripture here, which is just full of what God has done and what Jesus Christ has done. And yet I wonder, do we get it? Do we get it? Why are we so anemic if we serve a risen Savior? Why are we so timid if we have a God that can do what God has done in the Scriptures? Why aren't we out there taking the world, you know, why aren't we out there taking it on? Why aren't we out there, why aren't we storming our community with the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, yes, we have to have a strategy, we need to have plans and stuff. I totally agree with that. But sometimes I think we get lost in our strategy and we get tired making our plans. That we don't have enough energy to do it. So we look at Thomas and we give him that name, Doubting Thomas. But I'm wondering if that name can't be put on to a lot of our names. Doubting Richard. Doubting Melissa. I could run Hannah too much, so I can't use her name. But, you know, Doubting Joe. Doubting Mary. Doubting, you know. Do we fully believe what God is capable of doing and has shown us in His Word and has shown us through the power of the resurrection? Do we believe that? And if we do, why aren't we doing something about it? Let's pray. Father, we hear the stories about what Jesus did and about why He died on the cross and that He rose from the dead. We hear about the miraculous things that God has done in His Word. And yet, Lord, it just doesn't seem to get through to us who You are and the power that You have available for us. Lord, may we truly believe and not doubt like Thomas and not need hands-on proof like Thomas, but Father, through faith, help us to believe that we serve an awesome and a powerful God, a God who is capable of giving us the power and the strength to do anything in His name. Father, challenge our hearts with these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.